Myrie wandered around the streets of Barovia, talking to an old woman who'd lost her daughter and an older woman selling meat pies, until she eventually met Ismark, a weary young man who wanted help escorting his sister Irina to the sanctuary of a nearby town called Kresg, to keep her safe from the lord of the land, a beast of a man called Strahd von Zarovich. Myrie broke into an old house to find some weapons and helped Ismark and Irina bury their father, then hit the old Svalich road. At a gallows on the crossroads, they met a mysterious woman who shared some wine and told their fortunes, informing Myrie that if she ever wanted to escape Barovia and return home, she would need to collect 3 treasures, the first of which could be found in a nearby windmill. The old Svalich road transitions here from being a winding path through the Balinok Mountains to a lazy trail that hugs the mountainside as it descends into a fog-filled valley. In the heart of the valley, you can see a walled town near the shores of a great mountain lake, its waters dark and still. A branch in the road leads west to a promontory, atop which is perched a dilapidated stone windmill, its warped wooden vanes stripped bare. Vanes. That's what they're called. Vanes.
Were you looking for that word earlier?
I called them blades.
Oh! Those are called vanes.
Those are called vanes, the tourney bits. The bits that catch the wind.
V-A-N-E-S.
Yes. They're not so vain that they think the song is about them.
I was thinking...
What blood pumps there?
Yes. Okay. Let's go in here, right? Let's go in here. She said there'd be treasure in here. Could be great.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I'll follow you.
Is it getting dark? Like, is it time to find shelter? A clock?
It is, which unfortunately... Make a nature check.
5.
Yeah, it's getting dark. It sure got dark fast.
Love trees. I push her ahead of me, and I follow behind, glancing behind to see if Mr. Skeleton has followed us.
Make a perception check.
That's a crit.
Nothing behind you.
But I do find a beautiful flower.
There is one gorgeous trillium in the one shaft of sunlight that pierces the clouds each day. As you reach for it, it wilts and withers and turns to blackened ash.
Like every relationship.
It is a metaphor.
Okay, I continue. I look behind me, I see nothing, mm-hmm. And I keep pushing Irina in front of me.
Okay, I'm going. Ahead of you, the onion-domed edifice leans forward and slightly to one side, as though trying to turn away from the stormy gray sky. You see gray brick walls and dirt-covered windows on the upper floors. A decrepit wooden platform encircles the windmill above a flimsy doorway leading to the building's interior. Perched on a wooden beam above the door is a raven, which hops about and squawks at you, seemingly agitated.
Hey! It's so good to see you! Oh my god! How are you? Can you...
And it...
Okay.
Flaps close to your head. It seems to be carrying something in its beak, but you kind of duck and fling your hand out of the way, and it flies over you and flutters around the side of the building where you see it lands on something just beyond the crest of the hill.
Do you want to tell me more about the house?
Yeah, well, with that natural perception, I wanted to tell you, you smell delicious, warm pies.
Fun. We love a pie. Okay. I go up and I knock on the door. What could go wrong?
Okay. You knock on the door and you hear a voice from within say, I wasn't expecting anybody. Were you expecting anybody? Why would Morgantha be knocking on the door? Use your head. And the door creaks open and you see a... small, middle-aged looking woman, pretty plump. She's got kind of grease stains around her mouth and a big, like an Easter Island statue nose, like a granite half-dome looking nose.
She's the grandma in Spirited Away.
Yeah, not dissimilar. Big wart. She opens the door and looks at you and goes, can I help you?
It was just getting dark and we were kind of looking for a place to stay. Do you guys have an extra room? We'll be so quiet.
Oh, we're so sorry, dear. It's kind of cluttered in here.
Who is that?
Don't mind. It's some strangers on the road. Here, come in, please. Let's get you out of the cold at the very least. And she opens the door to a very cramped, seems to be more of a makeshift kitchen than a sitting room. There's baskets and old dishware piled up. There's an old peddler's cart, a chicken coop with a live chicken that kind of eyes you dumbly as you head in. Heavy wooden trunk, heavy wooden cabinet with old faded flowers painted on its doors. You can also hear toads croaking from an earthenware pot in the corner. And this woman fusses around, and as she passes the oven, her apron
flares up from the heat and wafts the smell of pastries toward your nose. There's a brick oven against one wall where that smell is coming from, and a crumbling staircase ascends. You stand in the doorway, you and Arena together. Even though you're not very tall, there's still not much headroom above you. And she makes a big show of looking for a chair. She moves the chicken coop off of an old chair and blows some of the chicken shit off of it and kind of dusts it with the corner of her apron. I'll make do with the edge of the trunk here. And here you go. Here you are, dearies. And she sets the chair down in front of you. Come sit. Who are you? What are your names? I'm Bella.
Hi. This is my friend, Sophie.
Arena.
And
she looks over at you.
Arena, sorry. Sophie's what we called her as a kid.
Oh, we all have nicknames, of course. I remember some of the names kids used to call me. They don't anymore, of course, now, thank God.
And I'm Masha.
Masha, enchanted to meet you. I'm Bella, as I mentioned. My sister Leah is upstairs.
Thank you so much for bringing us in. I sit in the chicken poop chair because I couldn't care less. And poor Arena will.
Without realizing, yeah. She sits on a butcher's block that is a baking rack, but old-fashioned.
Right. Uh-huh.
And kind of smooths out. And this woman, smooths out her apron. She says, we don't get many travelers coming up here on the road these days. Can I offer you a pie? We've got some set to cool right now.
That is more than generous. We're just sort of looking for a place to be inside, for the night.
Well, we are a little bit cramped here. I'm afraid there's not much room at the old inn, as they say. You're welcome to camp out on the grounds. I know it's wet and it's not the most hospitable, but we'll fill your bellies full of warmth and that'll carry you on through morning. And we'll feed you first thing when you wake up. It's just, my other sister is going to be home any minute now. And with the three of us, there's hardly room. We're already sleeping on top of one another,
Yeah, that's no problem. I'll take a pie then.
Oh, of course, please. She holds the pie out to you and it glistens golden brown. It is the sun that has not shone all day is on this plate in this woman's hand. A chipped plate, but a sun nonetheless.
Oh, it smells so good. Oh my God. But, we're meeting our uncle, who's very large and aggressive. We don't want to offend him,
Because you're afraid he might beat you?
No, he'll be so mad and he'll beat you to a pulp.
Who is this
so
man
tough.
That he would beat up a couple of harmless old ladies for keeping their nieces well fed?
Oh, Uncle Jesse, man. He's a real one.
Sounds like a no good nick
to me. So anyway.
Make a deception check. So anyway.
23.
Okay. As long as you're sure, I'm really sorry that we don't have the room, but you know how bad the roads are at night. You don't want to be out there after dark. At least stay in the vicinity of the mill. We'll keep an eye out for you all night.
Sure. Okay. So we'll go find a good spot.
Arena whispers to you, also, we should keep an eye out for that treasure, right?
I remembered that coming in, and I got distracted by the pies, to be honest, and it totally fell out of my brain, because I was like, I want to eat them real bad, even though they're not a real pie, but a pie just sounds so good right now, and then I'm like, oh yeah, it's probably death, so. Anyway, so maybe we'll stay on the ground, sure. I'm not saying this out loud anymore. All I have is treasure lies from within, right?
Yep.
Within isn't without.
Within is not without. Without is without. That's and you will go without if you don't stay within.
You've got such an interesting house in here. And she gets up and starts kind of looking around at all the knickknacks and things.
Make an investigation check.
Mm-hmm. 3.
Nothing that looks particularly historical. It's all covered in dust. There's, jars of various spices. You smell, for yourself, kind of looking around. Old rosemary, cumin.
Ugh.
Smells like melted gold.
Did you travel much?
Oh, me? No, I'm up to my elbows in work here. My sister Morgantha, she brings back some things now and then.
What are you telling those strangers?
Nothing, Leah. Go back to your work.
Your sister doesn't sell pies in town, does she?
She does, as a matter of fact.
Dream pies?
It's her branding thing. I dream well whether I have one or not. Then again, I can't remember the last night I went without having one. And she pats her belly. Let's not find out.
banter.
You say out loud.
That's what it feels like socializing right now. you know, I haven't seen very many animals here. Your chicken's very cute.
Oh.
Have you seen ravens in this area?
There's ravens occasionally. They fly about the place. Never put one in a pie. I cannot speak to the taste of a raven. Besides, it's bad luck to kill a raven. Hasn't anybody ever told you that? Irina nods and goes, that's true.
No one has told me that. And honestly, it could have been really useful to my life. Not that I killed ravens.
Oh, thank goodness. I was about to say, I wasn't going to kick you out into the cold, Strahd knows, but I would hate to hear that that ill fortune befell you. And Irina goes, it's said that ravens carry the souls of the dead. So it's bad luck to kill them.
They do carry the souls of the dead. So your house is lovely.
It's not really. That's sweet of you to say, though. It's, well, this is what happens. Three girls living in one house. We did it when we were kids, doing it as adults. Completely different ball game. What ball game? I don't know. A game with balls. Stickball, maybe?
Quidditch.
Quite right. Are you still eating that there pie?
I'm picking at it. Eat like a little raven, my mom always said.
I eat like a wolf myself. Just gobble them down.
Huh. Damn. What else can I do? Can I... I put my head in the oven. Any kids in here?
There's nothing inside the oven but a bell jar. I'll give you as many dollies as you need.
I don't understand that reference, so...
Oh, The Bell Jar? It's a book by Sylvia Plath who killed herself by putting her head in the oven. You also hear a scuffling sound and a small... Ooh. And then...
Pipe down.
From upstairs.
I'm just going to run and use your restroom.
Sure, it's a chamber pot on the second floor. Here, I'll show you the way.
Oh, I got it.
No, please, please. And leaves you upstairs into the actual millstone, like a big rock trough with another rock on top of it connected to a wooden pole that turns when the wind blows the mill. It's connected to a large wooden gear shaft. The stone staircase continues further up. There is a dirt-caked window allowing very little light to enter. On the sill is the raven that you saw earlier, which goes tick, 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 against the window. Mm-hmm. And then as you come up and Bella, the woman, comes up behind you, the raven takes off.
Got it. Which one's the bathroom?
Oh, just there. She points to a pot near one of the windows.
Thanks.
I'll give you some privacy. She turns her back.
Thank you. Myri waits for her to go downstairs, realizes she's not going to go downstairs,
mm-hmm.
and sort of looks from side to side. And I'm just going to open the window.
Oh, it's a number. I understand.
It might be a minute or two. Oh,
of course. Take your time.
I get a little gun shy. I get a little rapier shy. Hate it.
Yeah.
Myri opens the window and sticks her head out and sees if she can see the raven.
Make a perception check.
12.
Yeah. Down below, you can see the raven is perched on a stone. There's mm-hmm. four stones placed next to one another in like a small square formation.
Are they gravestones?
They're taller than that. They look kind of like not Stonehenge tall, but in between the two. And they're placed equidistant from one another.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ritual. Okay. I pee.
Make and, a sleight of... No, okay.
And then I go, all right, thank you. Can't wait to finish that pie.
There's more where that came from, too. Honestly, have your fill. The more you eat, the less I have to eat. You know what I mean?
Well, we're actually going to set up camp outside.
By all means. Like I said, we'll keep an eye on you. Make sure no harm comes to you in the night.
Keep an eye on us? What do you mean?
Like, watch out for you.
Oh, thanks.
There's all kinds of dangers lurking outside at night, but we'll keep watch for you so you can get a good night's rest. You look like you need it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially your friend, if you don't mind my saying so.
I totally agree. So I look at Arena and I go, let's go find a good spot outside.
Yeah. Okay, definitely. Thank you so much for your hospitality, and we are now going to go outside.
I push her out the door. Mm-hmm. she continues saying words.
Feel free to knock on the door. You're going to want a pie after you set up camp.
Of course. We go
Yeah,
around
you're out,
back.
You're outside now, and you head around back.
Uh-huh. I want to take a look at these stones.
Okay.
But I also left that window open for myself when God closes a door. Myri opens a window.
Make a perception check.
Beautiful. 25.
Fucking A with these perception checks. Each moss-covered stone bears a crude carving of a tree. On the one, there's fruits hanging from its boughs. One, it is bare, covered in snow. One, it is bursting in spring. And one has, like, leaves falling from it. Doesn't take you too long to figure out that they're seasons. The raven is atop the winter one, pecking at what you can see now is one of the pies. It looks at you and caws.
I cast speak to animals.
You don't have it, dear.
But what if I try?
If you try really hard, then nothing will happen. Hello? Like it did when we were kids.
Hello?
Also, you can see in the ground in the center of the stone circle, there are many small white rocks.
I'll take a peek at these rocks. Are they bones?
They are teeth.
People teeth?
Make a medicine check.
Or nature.
Oh, yeah. Let's go nature. I don't know. For whatever reason, I'm like, medicine is for people and nature is for not people.
18.
Almost all of them are human teeth, with one exception. There is a halfling canine, which you only recognize because you have spent time with your tongue pressed against two of those before. The rest of them, though, are children's teeth. Like a mom would collect.
Oh, no. These are teeth.
Okay.
This can't be good.
No. No, probably not.
Why are there only teeth? I don't know. Can't be good.
Make a religion check with disadvantage.
I got a 3. I am she. She is me.
Me is the magic number. Neither of you know why somebody would pile only teeth in a spot. Maybe they're bad dentists.
Or good dentists. Okay, great. I put a tooth in my pocket. Who knows? Maybe it'll come in handy.
Add Tooth of the Mill Road Murders to your inventory. If you equip it, which is to say, shove it in your mouth, if you damage a creature that hasn't taken a turn yet, it takes an extra 3d10.
That's so much.
All you gotta do is put it in your mouth.
All you gotta do is shake my hand. Ooh, but it's so icky.
Don't you want to learn to play the blues?
Oh, I do. Trust me. Do you know anything about guitar strings? Anyway, this is a conversation for another time.
I know some things. I know many things about the strings.
Hated it. Why are some guitar strings labeled like for the blues? And what if I play not the blues on them? Will the guitar explode?
It will catch fire.
Yeah, like is it like using a bard instrument when you're not a bard?
If you try and play like flamenco on a blues string, it'll catch fire.
If I play like Waving Through a Window from Dear Evan Hansen, does it just freeze in my hands and burst into a million pieces?
It'll crack and yeah, it'll go brittle and like melt in front of you.
All right, good to know.
You know in the Beatles song when at the end of it, he yells, I've got blisters on me fingers.
Yes.
It's because he was playing on blues strings and he shouldn't have been and the strings rebelled.
Do you know that that's actually Ringo saying that?
Really?
Yeah, it's a drummer. But everyone assumes it's a guitarist because it makes sense.
That's the problem is he was playing the drums with the guitar strings.
The guitar strings!
So yeah, you're standing by all these teeth. Also, the smell of this pastry, intoxicating.
Arena, this is a weird place. She looks at the baby teeth. She looks back at Arena.
Yeah, you can say that again.
I don't think you're super safe. How do you feel about holding a short sword?
I could.
Oh, you have magic. What am I saying? You stay here with your magic. And...
Oh, okay.
Here's the plan. And then, like, Ocean's 11.
Yes. Okay, everybody, I know this is an audio medium, but we're doing a heist plan. So just imagine, see the visuals as it's happening. We are cutting away. This isn't just Myrie talking at Arena. We're seeing Myrie enacting the plan.
So Myrie is up against the walls of the mill and nodding to Arena, who nods back a little bit away from the mill near a window. Because we're setting up camp. That's what they think we're doing. She nods back, turns the other way and laughs as if she's talking to someone and then is like setting up tent and is like pretending to talk to someone at the tent. Like she's just trying to do camp stuff.
Like you're just out of frame.
Uh-huh.
But really you're next to the door. And yeah, up and then up top we see
there's another shot from the other side of Arena, like with the tent a little bit up, talking to like a stick with some baby teeth in it.
Uh-huh.
And like a hat.
It's like the pastry has got like teeth in its mouth as for a face, and like the raven is sitting on top of it like a hat, like a mustache. And yeah, we see the Bella, the old woman, is looking out of the window being like, this is normal.
And then I, Myrie, am gonna try and climb the mill to get in through the bathroom window I left open.
Less of a bathroom and more of a chamber pot, but yes. Okay, Prudence.
I just want to come out and play.
We're mashing up two songs that they mashed up in Across the Universe. But this is fine. This is our Beatles episode.
Oh, God. We started with Ringo and it cannot be stopped. Till we're across the universe.
There's no strawberries in these fields.
Just teeth.
The rest will come naturally. The rest will come. I can't. We can't just. There's so many songs.
I know. And what I'm scared about is I don't know any of them.
No, you will. You're going to stumble upon them accidentally.
I know. They really are like a genre's octopus garden of music.
Okay. So, but wait, if we're doing the heist thing, walk me through the rest of the plan. Is the plan just
the
you
plan.
Get up and...
Arena sets up the camp and distracts them, and I climb up into a bathroom window.
Okay, and then you...
Sneak.
Get the treasure.
And profit.
Yeah, question mark, question mark, question mark. All right, everybody, now we're back, and now you're watching it in real time.
Now I'm George Clooney, having been fake beaten up, climbing through the fence. That's who I am right now.
I hope you set up the right number of double crosses.
That movie is so good, and I hate heist movies, and that movie's incredible.
Have Arena make a performance check.
Thank you, Chef. 9.
9, okay.
Auf Deutsch. Oh, can she use guidance?
I don't know if she can guidance herself. Let's find out. This same buddy, he played a warforged cleric.
Uh-huh.
And every time he used guidance, he would be like, it looks like you're trying to climb a rope. Do you need some help with that?
Oh, that's so good. Wow,
you touch one willing creature once before the spell ends.
I can touch myself.
Can roll. Wink. She sure can.
12 all day.
12 all day. Okay. Now have Myri make an athletics check to 4 to climb.
My athletics is +6, 24.
24. All right. You easily scale the walls.
I am quiet. Do you want me to do sneaking now?
I do. I want you to do sneaky at the same time.
Okay. Thank you. 23.
Okay. There's a rain barrel by the side of what is essentially a balcony that runs around the outside mm-hmm. of the second level. And you were able to jump from that rain barrel onto a rafter and then you swing and develop momentum and then loop your feet around, let go and stand up. It's very impressive, and like you're about to like shout and cheer for something, and then you remember you're being very, very stealthy, very quiet. Arena like gives a quick thumbs up, and then like looks back the other way, like toward the person helping her set up camp, yeah, and gives that thumbs up, and then just kind of like waves at the window. You slip in through the window that you left open, narrowly avoiding the chamber pot. You like clip it with your foot, and it goes.
Oh no!
And then you like
catch it.
Yeah, you grab it so it doesn't fall over. And it smells.
Well, Myri can't smell just like Beverly can't smell, so that works out.
The mill continues to grind as the wind pushes the tattered veins of the windmill. And you are on the floor. There's a staircase leading down. There's a staircase leading up.
I'm being super sneaky. Oh, what do I have? My sneaky clothes are... I take the ruffle from my neck, and mm-hmm. it becomes a mask. Like...
So you're putting a ruffle over yourself to be sneakier?
Yeah.
You just want to have a costume.
I
want
to have a costume.
Okay. Are you using your hair as a mask?
Yes! You know what? That's what I'm doing.
Great.
Okay. I'm going to sneak through and go... Her sister is on the same floor or was up above?
Up above.
I want to be on the same floor for a second then. I can hear... What's her name? Granny Witherby?
Her name is Auntie Bella.
Auntie Bella, thank you.
Yes, it's cute.
Yeah, okay, so I hear Bella down below, right?
Makes a perception
check.
You
know what? Yes, I... 15.
Sounds like she's kneading dough.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, poof, poof, fold, mm-hmm, fold, mm-hmm. Poof.
She's like, I just wish I could be not so needy and...
And that as is I a hear dollar. That...
as Myri hears that, she sneaks past the door... And I want to explore...
There is a face in a jar by the door. Sorry, that's not true. That's an Eleanor Rigby lyric.
You motherfucker.
Got so scared. Forgot we're in Barovia.
The funny thing was my brain went, was it watching me while I peed? That was my first thing. And I was like, what does it know about me?
What does it know?
I sneak around the door, past the face in the jar. And I want to go to another room on this floor first.
There isn't another room on this floor.
I go up the stairs.
Also, yeah, there isn't a door. I should have mentioned that when you said by the door. There's just the staircase leading down and the staircase leading up.
Okay, yeah, I go up the stair.
You can see again, she is past her prime. And I don't want to cast aspersions, but this is not an attractive looking woman. And it looks like she wouldn't have been attractive even when she was in her prime. She has got a kind of gnarled, warty eyebrow that closes one of her eyes almost all the way shut. Her nose is long and thin and hooked. She has like very stringy, dull gray hair, and she has blankets pulled over herself in bed, and she is crocheting, is so cliche. It's the double shea. She is she's a paperback writer. She's writing a novel.
That's good.
Also in this room, you can see there's a wooden closet. There's some crates stacked on top of one another that are covered in a heavy sack cloth, a heavy sack cloth, like canvas. A ladder climbs up to a wooden trap door in the ceiling.
Heavy trap door in the ceiling?
Yes. So, like, it looks like there's another floor above this, and mm-hmm. that ladder is how you would access it.
Mm-hmm. So she's, like, wrapped up in her book.
Mm-hmm.
Realistically, would I be able to sneak past this person?
She does appear to be distracted. The bed itself is, like, opposite the top of the stairs, but she is facing directly against this ladder. So, like, if she were to glance up, she would see you.
Right, on the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a world where I can climb on the outside of this windmill and get up there?
Possibly. It's pretty slick. Plus, it's damp outside. It would be extremely difficult, but there is a world where it's possible.
Cool. Okay.
It's this world, this fantasy world that we're making up.
Not just a plan, but a good plan.
You hear some creaking coming from behind you and a voice call out, "It looks like they're setting up camp."
Oh, good. We can return then to our work.
I hate that for us.
And she sets aside the papers and a little wooden, like, lap board. What do you do?
Can I hide? Is this door open?
So, like, there's not really a door.
No door.
Like, it leads up onto the floor.
Okay, great.
The only door is the front door on the bottom floor.
Mm-hmm. Can I sneak into this room and hide under the bed? They're in the bed.
The one is in the bed.
I don't want to be in the bed.
The other is downstairs coming up the stairs behind you.
Mm-hmm.
So she leans away from you to put down this paper mm-hmm. and quill and such. Make a stealth check with disadvantage.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm so mad right now. I'm going to use luck. I rolled a crit and a 6. I'm just really mad.
So when you use luck, you can take any of the rolls use. It turns disadvantage into super advantage. So you can use the crit.
I use luck to use the crit, please.
You use luck. The crit is used.
Thank you for telling.
She puts this over to the side as you dash and basically like baseball slide under. Like there's still dust covering the floor. And you baseball slide. But as you do with your other hand, you like spread it out evenly so it doesn't look like there's a streak going under. And then roll under the bed facing out looking the other way as her foot... varicose veins running all the way up her calves. She puts it on the floor and heaves herself out of bed. It raises off of you significantly, so you have more room.
Uh-huh.
She crosses to the canvas crates and takes it off. The top one is empty, and you can see below that each one contains a small child. One a young boy, one a young girl.
Alive? Sorry.
Yes. Yes. No, that's fair. They look scared, and she leans down and goes, "You almost gave yourself away with that fit." And she pokes at the little girl. "As punishment, I'm not going to let you be asleep." And she touches the little boy's forehead, and he instantly passes out unconscious. She then takes a key off of a long chain that's around her neck, unlocks the iron padlock, and then takes the sleeping boy out and hefts him over her shoulder like a sack of flour and totters off down the stairs.
Oh my gods. The pies are people.
Soylent Green, baby.
Oh man, what does she do? My kingdom for a sending stone. Shit.
Okay, do you want to use the chamber pot downstairs or do you want to just do it where you are?
I do it by accident. We got to make some shit happen. Okay. Here's what we're gonna do. She left the girl awake and she left her in the crate.
Yes, she did.
Did she lock the crate?
She didn't unlock it. It was locked. She left it locked.
But she took the boy out. Are there two crates? They have their own crate.
There are two crates.
They have their own crate. Got
they each have their own crate.
I was like, is this
women
economy?
Are cruel.
In this economy? Small child there, awake. Myri is gonna crawl out from under the bed in a very non-threatening way with her finger on her lips. And a sword pointing downstairs. Dunk, like drag. sword, not for you, sword for them. Like, shh, please don't.
You sneak out, pointing the sword downstairs, and have another finger to your lips. Make a persuasion check.
It's a good thing I'm cute. 21.
She nods. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You can see she's also not crying. Her eyes are puffy like she has been, but she's, you know, she's not like sniffling or anything. She looks terrified.
She's had a bad time.
She's had a bad time.
For a while. I want to whisper to her real quick, not spending a lot of time here. Is there anything I should know?
They take kids and they put them in the pies.
Damn it!
And then they sell the pies in town. And then when the parents can't pay for the pies anymore, they give them the kids.
What do you mean the parents can't pay for the pies anymore?
When the parents run out of money for the pies, they give them kids. My mom and dad traded me for pies.
Oh, I'm going to get you out of here. If you see another girl also dressed to the nines like me, she's good.
Okay. And you hear a voice cry out from down below. What's all that racket up there?
With that, man, I'm not looking forward to going to sleep tonight. In game.
Yep.
I have a great idea. It's so stupid.
Well,
I want to creep downstairs pretty fast if I can. I want this boy to be down there as little as possible. I want go to the bathroom window, use my spell scroll to cast spiritual weapon to try to be like, Arena, come this way.
You want to make a magic hand out of spiritual weapon to be like, to signal to her.
To say, come hither. And then I'm going to attack these ladies. That's the plan.
Okay. First of all, make a stealth check with disadvantage.
And
because you're hurrying down the stairs. Are you just leaving this girl in the cage for now?
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot. I don't want to like break the lock, especially when the key's down there. 25.
Okay. Yeah, you quickly creep downstairs and go around the mill to the open window. And
whisper my spell scroll, however they work. Rip it in half. I don't know how spell scrolls work. I find them very confusing.
Spell scrolls are super confusing. There's something about like only available to arcane casters, and then even then you have to fucking make a skill check for them.
Right. It's up to you, because I used to cast, but now I don't.
In game, we had you use one before you got magic. You just cast Fireball.
That's right.
I think they're just spells. They're just one-use spells.
I think so, too.
And for us, I think that's way more fun.
I do, too.
So, yeah, okay. You cast a spiritual weapon. What do you want your spiritual weapon to look like?
You could read a guide on how to cut a t-shirt into a different shape without being a seamstress. That's how I feel about spell scrolls.
I'll allow it.
You have scissors and guts. What was your question?
Do you have them? Guts. What do you want your spiritual weapon to look like?
So I do get to choose because I did find it. So that was my question. It's a spell scroll.
But you can make it look like whatever you want. Otherwise, it would look like a windmill.
You're right. I think it should be something so scary.
A fan.
I think it's a scythe.
Fuck yeah.
I think it's a scythe because it's Barovia and it's a scroll I found in a spooky mansion.
Yeah, dude.
So this like wicked looking scythe with like jagged edges appears before Arena and like wiggles like it's dancing and then points towards the house. And I wave from the window and hope that reads.
You know, you've been traveling together for all of like 6 hours now. I don't see why not.
Snickle friends.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so yeah, this scythe appears in front of her. She like tries to grab it and can't. And she's like, okay. Gives a big thumbs up and then starts running toward the front door.
Great. And I think I can move this as a bonus action.
You can.
Up to 20 feet. Okay, great. So I start moving it towards the house behind her. And
she starts running the scythe chasing her.
Oh, I'm going to sneak downstairs because I know how games work. And I'm going to try and stealth sword a lady when I see the topography of the room, I guess. So I'm going to go down the stairs and look at the people.
It's a pretty cramped room. It's filled with all kinds of bric-a-brac and baking equipment. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the big oven on the side. There's butcher's block that's used for kneading dough. And in this case, for butchering small boys, who he is asleep. They lay him over a cutting board. One raises up her hand, and instead of a knife, out of the flesh of it comes this purple-skinned, long-fanged, demonic hand, and the claws gleam razor sharp.
I attack her before she can strike.
I'm going to call this a surprise round. Your stealth's been hella good. They're both distracted. Go ahead and roll with advantage. This is what rogues are about.
26 to hit.
Sure enough.
So 46 plus a d6 for my sword.
5d6 all day.
8, 9, 12. 20 damage.
This is very important. Do you say any cool shit before you stab her?
I'm going vegetarian!
Ah! Oh, I thought you said this. They were setting up camp. And she whirls around and you can see her face. She's got long, matted black dreadlocks. Her face is come forward into this bruised purple visage of furrowed malice. She has long horns that peel off the top of her forehead into her hair, and a necklace of small skulls, all of whom are missing teeth around her neck. Roll initiative.
Thought you were going to be like, she looks out the window and sees a Rita with a scythe following her.
No, the other one does that, though. They're not making camp, and she likewise has a transformation. Her hair becoming long and white, her skin going green, and Wicked Claws coming out of there as well.
It's like Sailor Moon, but instead of a white rainbow, it's a purple, like, gross goopiness around her as her hand goes out and her claws come out. 27, Myri. I rolled a lot of crits this game so far. Not to curse myself, but...
Oh, you don't need to worry about cursing yourself.
Huh. Oh, no. Arena's a 7 in the initiative. 7 was
seven?
Her roll, yes.
Myri, no surprise, you go first.
Okay.
Also, I want to say, when you stabbed into her, even though you had the complete drop, you stabbed up and like below her rib cage, like you would have been hitting a lung, getting a lot of vital organs. But even as you stabbed into her, you could see your blade on the inside of her, and it appeared to only like...
Damn.
It stabbed, but it didn't draw back any blood. She turned in pain, so it did do something to her,
okay.
But it was certainly not as effective as things have been before.
Damn, that sucks. Well, hope my weapon gets here soon.
Oh, yeah, as a bonus action, do you want to move it?
Yeah, can I move it 20 feet closer?
You can. And it moves following Arena closer to the door.
And as my action, I'm going to fight her. Yes, fight her again. 13 to hit.
Does not.
Okay.
You go to stab again, and she catches the blade with her hand, and no blood comes out as she goes forward, and she says,
"You're a little bit older than we usually use, but I still think you'll be tasty."
Oh my god, stop. You can keep going. Can we say I have my shield out? I was thinking it, but I didn't say it.
I think you're good. You're sword and boarding.
I almost said first person fighting. I was like, wrong.
First person swords. Okay, on her turn, I think because you are right here in melee with her, she is going to claw you. 16 to hit.
Not with my shield.
You bring up the shield, and the windmill that is on it gets claws raked through it. The other one behind points her finger at you and says,
"Silly old ladies, we're always breaking wind. I need you to make a wisdom saving throw."
I crit.
That is her turn.
I know what spell that was. I'm learning D&D.
I'm so happy. That is then Arena's turn. She reaches the door and wrenches it open.
Hell yeah, dude. What is up? Like, I ain't seen the sky.
Shit you're doing this year? Insanity.
She doesn't know about the little kid. That's fine. She's going to use Bless at first level, because that's all she has.
It's not all she has.
No. As far as levels.
Yeah.
She's a queen. And I love her. She's going to bless...
She's going to bless you?
Me, her... And the child.
Okay, the one that who's...
who's unconscious, because she doesn't know there's another one.
Thinking quickly, she looks and says, "Morning Lord, watch over us."
That's an action. It adds a d4 to things we do later.
Uh-huh.
It's all right. I'll let it be for now.
Yeah.
And that's going to be her turn. And then she does that and goes, "Okay, what else can I do?" And then remembers what's coming behind her and just moves out of the way of the door before the scythe comes in.
Flattens herself against the door as... Okay, that is her turn. It is Myri's at the top of the pops.
Okay. Did both witches attack? Both women attack?
Feel free to call them whatever you want to call them. one clawed at you, the other tried to shoot you with a spell.
Copy. I'm so used to fighting things that attack 5 times. I'm just making sure. I guess my spiritual weapon just takes its own turn, kind of.
It's a bonus action.
No, because I think it just attacks on its own. Moving it is a bonus action.
So it's just like swinging constantly, but you can move it so that when it swings, it hits actually hits something. So if you move it and it doesn't hit anything, it goes forward and just swipes at the air. It's like fucking Final Fantasy 1.
I was going to say. As a bonus action, I move it over to the one I've been attacking this whole time.
You were fighting Auntie Leah, who's the big-nosed, watery-eyed one. Auntie Bella has yet to be touched.
I fight Auntie Leah with my scythe. I use my melee bonus.
I'm going to say use your spellcasting modifier, which is still charisma. Did you crit? Are you critting again?
I did crit! I have to, like, I don't know, give this dice a spa day or something. I guess I'm just rolling only with this dice today. I don't know what to... I truly am... I'm gobsmacked. Mm-hmm. Oh, shit. 15 damage from this scythe.
Arena ducks out of the way.
It makes a big sweep over where her head was.
Mm-hmm. And comes down, slicing through Auntie Leah, who... screams in pain as you see black tar-like blood splatter to the ground. And yeah, it hurt her real bad.
It's very cool. We like that.
For your action?
Myri's gonna stab. So I'm gonna roll this and this together. 17 to hit.
Does.
But I don't add it to damage. Sneak attack because my friends are here?
It is not. Yeah, she's not within 5 feet. Arena's in the doorway.
Okay.
She's not engaged.
My spell doesn't count as my friend.
It's an acquaintance.
I've already called it Scythe in my head. I have to learn this spell. What if I took a level in cleric next? This becomes religious to me, this experience.
This pie is a religious experience.
No, it's children. Oh, uh-huh. God. There's a metaphor in there.
Yeah. You and me both. Let's not dig too much deeper. Get your thumb out of that pie.
You know, the Pope song. Anyway, 5 damage.
With your regular sword?
Yeah.
Damn.
It's fine. I'm not mad.
You slice again and you just cut off like a mat of her hair, but you can see it nicks her neck and she bares her teeth at you. Anything else on your turn?
No. Yes.
Hmm?
No. Thank you. I'm done for real.
Okay. Leah goes, where's Morgantha?
Oh, no.
And she should be here any moment. I don't know. Let's tag team them till then. And she steps sideways and out of sight. She seems to vanish directly in front of you.
I don't get an op attack because she's disappeared.
You do not. And Bella, the other one, is going to claw you.
Okay.
And it happens.
Hit me with those dimmy dams.
Take 8 damage.
Can I half some of that?
With an uncanny dodge?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can half all of it.
Okay, great. That I do.
And you like kind of dodge and spin out of the way. And
so what you're saying is I twist out of the way, but then I shout.
Yes. Yes, that's what I'm saying. You twist and shout.
There's 2 battles happening right now. The battle of these characters and the battle of us.
There's the fight, and then there's the fight that matters. What? That never misses.
I'm not your average missus. And I stand on top of the table over the boy that I flipped up onto.
That was Bella's turn. It is Arena's turn.
Arena, come here. Let's go back to back because I need your help to get more damage.
She runs forward toward you.
I want to do something cinematic, so I don't know what it will code as. I want to do Sacred Flame, but I also want to toss a bunch of flour into the air and try and find this invisible person.
Tight. I like that, and that's cool. I think you can do one or the other. The other one is like...
I want her to kick the flour up into the air.
Arena runs forward into melee range with Leah and then takes a bag of flour and wrenches it off the table and throws it into the air around, coating the area. You kind of cough a little bit as it goes over you, covered in flour as well. She opens her eyes, and so there's like just dark rings around what is otherwise a comical pancake face. The flour settles not on any form.
Okay, copy. That sucks.
Bella laughs and goes, you think she just went invisible?
Can Arena grab the boy on this turn?
Sure. She can grab the flower and the boy, which is not a Beatles song, though it should be.
It sounds like one. I was going to say. I think I need some help. And then Myri, like, looks down at the boy, and Arena grabs him.
Come on, beautiful boy.
That'll be her turn for now.
But you did ask her to move forward to you?
Yeah, she's near me now.
Okay, so you come together.
Thank you. And am I close enough to attack Bella on the next turn?
You are, and you can.
Okay, great. Then I do that. I attack her for 20, over 20.
Yeah, we'll hit.
19 damage from my sword. So after I strike her with my sword, I'm going to disengage with fancy footwork and run up the stairs. But when I do, I'm also going to use my bonus action. I'm just going to use my movement. I'm going to use my bonus action to attack her with the spiritual weapon.
Dope.
Does Bless affect this?
Yes, it does. I mean, it's coming from the same god.
21.
Also a hit.
And that's... it's a D8. Aw, man. 6 damage.
Damn.
Sucks. But it's a special damage, you know.
Yeah, did you add your charisma?
That is with my charisma.
Yikes. Okay.
That's why I said, oh, man. That's Myri's turn.
The scythe slashes it into Bella, who goes, ah! On this turn, Leah comes back into the room downstairs in front of Arena.
God damn it.
And Bella, she glares at Arena and claws at her. Ooh, 21 will hit.
Does hit. I'm going to roll for concentration because I'm a good player.
She takes 8 slashing damage.
Okay, Bless drops. She takes 8 damage?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Okay.
As she claws, Arena screams out in pain, and Leah hits Bella from behind and goes, not that one.
Oh, interesting.
It is Arena's turn.
I think Arena is going to run up the stairs as well with the boy.
Oh, tight. She's like, no, she's like holding him like close to her chest with like his head, like you would a sleeping kid that you were taking into his room.
Okay, so she's holding him and joins Myri upstairs. Is the little girl still in the crate?
That's a floor above you, but probably seeing as how you left her there and it was locked.
Yeah, let's go.
Fly a kite.
She meets Myri on that first stairwell. Myri sees how bad she looks because she has 1 HP.
Yeah.
And says, you got to get upstairs. There's another kid up there. See if you can get her out. I'll try and get you a key, but who knows?
Yeah, I'll do my best.
If not, climb out the window and get out of here.
I'm not going to leave you behind.
Oh my God, no. You got to focus on these kids.
Okay.
Look, just work on the little girl. Try and get her out. See if there's something that can help you up above.
I'll do my best.
And she's going to dash up the next set of stairs.
Great. And these hags are now at the bottom of the stairs as it is Myri's turn.
Myri's going to use her weapon to attack Leah again.
Mm-hmm.
Does Leah look like she healed herself?
She does not.
Great. 15, 20, dirty 20.
A haggard 20.
13 damage with spiritual weapon.
Nice. Ah, and slashes back at it and it burns her hand. She goes, ah! And holds her wrist.
Does she look bad at all?
I mean, she looks pretty evil.
I wish you guys could see our faces. We're very funny. We're so funny.
We're very good visual performers. We're working on the audio.
We're okay.
It's 88 we're episodes right. In. We should be all right.
Can I run up the stairs with my movement and move the wooden dresser in front of the doorway?
To the top of the stairs?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So you run up to the same floor where Arena is and you make a strength check.
Strength is 15.
It tilts over and it knocks back and forth. You scoot it over like toward the top of the staircase, but it is not covering it.
Okay.
But maybe you could do it with a little help from your friend.
Arena, help me with this. Sorry I'm telling you what to do so much. It's part of the game.
This is something I am not familiar with, and you clearly are. But so that was your turn, Leah and Bella. You don't hear them at all.
Hate that for us. Did they come into this room?
They don't appear to.
Well, that's good. It's Arena's turn, right?
It is.
I think she helps me move this thing into place.
Make a strength check with advantage. So add whichever one of your strengths is higher.
Definitely, probably mine. Actually, what if? That would be very funny. She's just like yoked.
She is the Eggman. Coo-coo-coo-coo.
She rips off the front of her shirt and just the sleeves come off. And like one little like bow tie part.
You're both rocking this door and it like falls kind of down the stairs, spilling sets of small outfits onto the stairs as it goes. But it kind of like slides down. It doesn't block it.
Okay.
That is Arena's turn. She is a Lady Madonna with children at her feet.
Can she go up this roof ladder and see if there's anything up there that can help us?
Sure. On her turn, she'll get to the top of the trap door. In the top, she's... at the windmill's peak, there's a domed chamber filled with old machinery. Not a lot of room to move around. Light is slipping in through small holes in the walls. And in the corner is a leather-bound book.
Can she go look at it?
She can, but not on this turn.
Yeah, that's fair. Myri's going to turn to this cage and go to work on it. The kid's there, right?
Kid is in the cage.
Hey, remember me? Let's get you out of here. Can I try and pick this lock? Can I look around for something that can help me? Whatever seems available.
Make an investigation check with disadvantage.
Okay. Dude, I crit again.
You can luck to use the second crit.
I know, it's my last luck. Oh, but it's going to get this kid out. Let's use luck.
Okay, with that crit,
so it's a crit.
Glancing around, you see knitting needles that were not being used because they were cliche, but they are there and would function as thieves' tools.
I grab them, and I'm going to keep these. Is that okay?
Yeah, add thieves' tools to your inventory.
I have thieves' tools, but they're shaped like knitting needles, so I can take them on a plane. you know, the important things.
That is so bizarre. What's she gonna do? Stab me in my temple?
When I worked at a coffee shop, I was like, this would be the best scene for a Tarantino-style fight. Because there's like tongs for the pastries, there's hot water you can pour out of the coffee machine, all sorts of things to kill people with. Anyway, this is what I thought of during my very low-wage job. So I go to work on this cage.
Roll a d20 and add your dexterity.
Twice, because I'm an expert. Is it dexterity or proficiency?
It's dexterity and you're proficient, so you use a proficiency bonus twice. So dex plus prof twice.
21.
The lock swings open and this girl scrambles out onto you and holds you around your legs. Can I hold your hand? I want to hold your hand.
You shouldn't, but pretend you are.
Okay, and she like folds her fingers together and like holds her own hand.
Very cute. Arena, did you find anything interesting up there? And we'll resolve that soon. Meanwhile, Myri is looking towards... There's a window in this room too, right?
There is.
She's looking towards that and looking at the bed sheets and doing some math.
Gotcha.
Continue.
And then you blink, and then when you open your eyes, both of them are in the room with you.
Dang.
And they smile wickedly at you. It is Arena's turn.
Since we didn't do very well moving the armoire into the doorway, can the kids climb over it?
Oh yeah, definitely. But one of them's still asleep.
Right.
Which, does Arena have him in the attic, or does she, like, plop him down?
I think she would have put him on the floor, because that's crazy.
Plop. There you go.
She climbs a ladder, you know?
Yeah, of course.
That would be crazy.
Not with strength like she's got.
Yeah. So, I didn't say it, but logically that's what I would say she did.
Mm-hmm. Instead of pretending, this girl would have held the little boy's hand.
The little boy's
hand. And kind of, like, shook him, and he wakes up as she's shaking him.
That's very cute. Don't hold my hand. My hand has sharps. Hold his hand.
Okay. Hey, Ferrick, wake up. Kind of rouses.
Kid, what's your name? I'm speaking to a little girl.
I have a name, and it's a good one, too. Myrtle.
Myrtle? Frederick?
Frederick.
Why don't you, head on down?
Okay. They, head downstairs, scrambling over the wardrobe. Just so you have, like, a sense of this, he looks to be about 7. She looks younger. She looks like maybe she's 5.
Oh, maybe I shouldn't tell them to leave. Oh... Kids, what am I gonna do with these kids? Took us 5 hours to get here, right?
About, yeah.
Forget what I just said, please.
About sending them downstairs, or what am I gonna do with kids?
No, sending them downstairs. Okay. That feels foolish. Thank you.
It is Arena's turn.
When she gets closer to the book, does it look like a spell book?
Have her make an investigation check.
I don't want her to mess with it. If it's not gonna maybe help us. But it could be cursed, which also is fun. It's not insight, right?
It is not. It is a different skill.
15 damage. 15 roll.
So she's like kind of stooped over as she goes there, and she sees this book lying in a little sliver of sunlight that's coming in almost like a spotlight from the holes in the roof.
So it's holy?
The windmill is. The book is not. But very good. She crawls forward underneath the winch, the gears that are turning the windmill, and reaches forward and grabs it. And bringing it back, she flips open and thumbs through a couple of pages. The very first thing she sees are the words, "I, Strahd." And she whispers that side to herself, "A diary?"
Okay, cool. I'm going to have her pocket this book and then head back towards the ladder. Can she sacred flame from above these witches?
She can rain hellfire on these dudes. Yeah, fuck it, dude.
Rain godfire. How dare you? They make a dex save or take damage.
Okay. Which one? Bella or Leah?
Leah.
Ooh, well done, Leah. 21 is definitely higher than her spell attack bonus.
Yes.
Arena holds up her hand and goes, "Here comes the sun." And the light shines in it. And she throws it down. But Leah whirls around and her like necklace of skulls disperses the flames before they can hit her. And she goes, "Wicked girl.
Oh, is she from Boston?
No, she's not complimenting her. She's putting her down.
You fucking smoke show. I think it's Myri's turn, right?
That was Arena's turn. It is now Myri's turn.
Can I use a bonus action to bring my spiritual weapon up here?
Yeah, it just...
I think it'll take...
Nice. It spins and goes straight up through the floorboards.
Cute. And attack Leah.
Great.
A crit! I don't know what to do.
Be thankful.
Plus 5 is 14 damage.
It sure is.
To Leah.
Okay.
Ugh, I want her to die so bad. I'm gonna stab her as well. The kids I want to stay by the door, if that makes sense. They're not coming with me to fight this woman.
Of course.
Not even I will do that for sneak attack.
Still not a door, but...
doorway. The entrance,
entrance
way.
Entrance, sure.
It's like in The Good Place, not a door.
Yeah, exactly.
24 to hit.
Does.
No sneak, right? 5 damage.
And again, you stab through... Like, she's there and you stab her, but it doesn't feel any purchase.
I'm going to have them get inside this cabinet that's just open.
Uh-huh.
That looks like a sled on the stairs right now.
Great. They clamber on into it.
I want you out of the closet for the rest of your lives, but for right now, I need you in the closet.
Thank you. I was like, okay, wait, but are we going to do the joke?
I almost missed it because I'm just worried about these kids.
Leah, she's going to try and enfeeble you.
I thought she might.
11 plus 5 is 16.
Doesn't hit.
She, and you pop it off.
I raise my windmill shield in front of me mm-hmm. to spray this... light out of the window of this windmill.
You're adding insult to injury by using that.
What? Why?
We live in the windmill. This is, it's, you come into a windmill with a windmill, the windmill protects you from the windmill that's supposed to kill you.
Oh, then this is my windmill. I hold up my bill of sale.
She goes, take it over our cold dead bodies. And Bella is going to... Besides, hands like those, you wouldn't last a day in this business. I know bakers, you're no baker. She casts Vicious Mockery. So make a wisdom save.
Oh no, I'm not wise at all. 14.
Fucking, yeah. You're fine though.
Phew.
Okay, that was their moves. It is Arena's turn.
I want Arena to slide down this ladder like a video game character and roll back with me and sees that the kid is out and is like, I guess we solved one problem at least.
Although I don't know if I would go, I would say solved.
She's going to blast Leah.
With Sacred Flame?
Yeah.
What is Arena's spell save DC?
12.
Arena lights it up and throws the flame at her. Leah catches it in her hand and disperses it, corrupting it and turning it blue as she does, and it smokes around her.
Dang. I can see myself within range, right?
Sure, you can look down and see your hand. It's a first-person fighter.
She whispers healing word to herself.
What's her healing word?
Petrichor. So then she heals for 5.
All right. She's now at 6. It is Myri's turn.
Oh, can she get in the closet?
With the kids?
Yeah.
She can. I will let you know that would put her out of melee range of helping you out.
Yeah, I have a better idea.
Okay, make a perception check.
11.
You hear something coming up the road. It sounds like there's some sort of cart.
I'm going to use my spiritual weapon to attack Leah again.
Mm-hmm.
It feels very hateful to say almost my name. 13 to hit.
Does not. It swings and she ducks underneath it.
And I'm going to kick this dresser down the stairs.
Okay. Roll to hit.
Or is it like a strength check? Like, what do you want?
No, roll to hit. I think that's more fun.
24.
24. You're proficient in wardrobes.
Yeah.
We've heard the outfit descriptions on this podcast.
Oh, if I had a budget for my own life.
And then in your stylish and affordable boots, you kick against the wardrobe and it goes down the stairs and stops on the second floor.
And I'm going to run towards it. And I think that's my whole turn. We'll see what happens next.
As you are running away, Leah is going to get an opportunity attack against you because you did not hit her.
Yeah, that's fair.
Does 17 hit you?
Ooh, not if I throw my sword up and block it.
Son of a bitch. yeah, so you throw up a sword and block her claw as it goes. But Bella will get a hit on you with a 23.
That hits.
Take 16 slashing damage.
Sucks! It's the witch's turns.
It is the witch's turns. So Leah, seeing that you have been hurt, is going to say, go to sleep now. She's going to cast sleep on you.
How many hit points do you have remaining?
46.
Okay, cool. There's no way that it can affect you. I thought you were lower.
No, sorry.
But it has no effect. That's fine. She's mad about it. That was the last one you had for the day.
Well, I thought she was lower. I thought it was good.
Now you can't do your whole thing. Well, then you kill her and or knock her out, and then tonight I'll do the thing while she sleeps.
Oh, no.
Oh, so now it's up to me again. Okay, all right. She goes, I'll get her on the next one. And she turns invisible.
But doesn't turn invisible.
She disappears, I should say. That was their turns. It is Arena's turn. She is on the floor now below you, scooched in a wooden sled, a toboggan. And the other stairs are still in front of her.
She grabs Friedrich.
Friedrich. Like, you're saying Farik?
She grabs Farik and casts Bless again. Me, her, and Farik, sure. I suppose. Why not?
Morning Lord's got your back. as she heads down the stairs.
Yeah, and she's going to run down the stairs.
Come with me, kids. And she grabs onto their hands and leads them down the
Cute.
Stairs.
Leah's up there still.
Leah is, yeah.
Because she didn't disappear.
Leah didn't disappear.
She tried to make me sleep.
Yes, just Bella did.
I want to hit her with this friggin' scythe one more time, and I'm not gonna, because that's the way the dice tell the story. An 8?
Not even a little bit. The scythe is just kind of like wildly swinging now. You can also see it's like flickering, like it's about to wear off.
Yeah, I was wondering. I'm gonna run down and follow the kids down to the floor.
Where do you think you're going?
You head on down. She's going to cast a magic missile at you as you flee, because it's just going to hit you.
Yeah, that's fair.
9 damage. And there is still no sign of Bella.
Great news for us. Probably bad news for us in the future.
It is Arena's.
Arena opens the door and is headed that way, unless we see a third witch at the door.
As soon as Arena opens the door, she sees turning up the road, heading up to the mill, old Lady Morgantha pushing her cart, which is mostly empty at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And she's kind of humming to herself.
Is there a way to walk out this door but not be seen by this woman? Or is that a crazy idea?
It's a pretty difficult thing to
yeah.
do. You could walk out this door and then run around the side of the building.
That was what I was thinking, is running around the side and then bolting. I want to do that. She's going to be like, all right, kids, it's time to play. Oh, you know what's happening. You almost were eaten a second ago. And then they kind of sneak around the round side of this windmill and then head towards either the road or the woods or something.
Hightailing it.
Trying to sneak if we can. It would be better if we weren't spotted, but like also these two crones are on our tail.
Make a group stealth check.
Okay. How do I do that?
Roll 3 stealth checks. You're shooting for 2 out of 3 successes.
Copy. Do the kids have a bonus?
The kids do not have a bonus.
17, 19 for one, and 8 for one.
Okay, but the 17 and 19 are pretty good. You keep your heads down and move behind the stones, and then as you move past the stones, you move back over the hill. As you're going, you hear voices arguing in the background. Make a perception check.
18.
As you're running away, you hear,
which way did they go? They took the kids.
How could you let that happen? You're so stupid sometimes.
Bella let them out from under her grasp as well. You weren't here.
It's no matter. I brought a fresh one.
Oh, no.
And then you hear the sound of a door close.
Oh, fuck. I don't think Arena hears it. And she goes, what happened? Are they following us? And Myra goes, no, we got away. We saved the kids. And we keep running.
Make a deception check.
Oh, do I roll the dice that's been critting all day? Do I roll a worse dice? I don't know if I want to pass. I don't know. I'm rolling a worse dice, if anybody's following along. Deception?
Mm-hmm.
24.
Arena goes, feels good to do good. Come on, kids.
My gift is good.
And you run off down the woods a ways. The raven looks after you.
Hello, and thank you for listening to episode 88 of 1P D&D, with Beverly Jean as Myrie Stone Daughter and Trevor Wade as everyone else. Joshua Penn Pearson did the music, and this track was done by Alex Scribner. This episode was inspired by the Wizards of the Coast adventure, Curse of Strahd. Huge thanks to Reddit user Mandy Mod for her fleshing out Strahd guide. Of course, this podcast would not be possible without the help of our patrons. Michael, Peter, Dan, Anthony, and Evan, thank you so very much. If you would like to join their esteemed adventuring company, head over to patreon.com/1pdnd. That's one like the number, P like the letter, D like the letter, N like the letter, and D like the letter. You can also find us on Instagram and Twitter using that same numeral letter combination. Remember, this podcast is only as cool as its community, so help it grow by telling your friends about it or leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you encounter podcasts. The next episode is going to be up in 2 Wednesdays, June 23rd. We will see you then.